Blog Talk Radio.
It's what you've been waiting for. It's what you've been waiting for. Yeah, I know we faded, but I know your heart ain't nothing to play with. You just gotta trust me, promise I won't break it. All I wanna do is make sure that you get your vibe and your body satisfied. Girl, we got all night, yes we do.
You ready?
It's what you've been waiting for. Yeah, it's what you've been waiting for.
Yes, yes, yes. It's the rebirth. This is Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration in the Flesh on Married to Change Radio. Happy Sunday, everybody. I'm so happy to be here with you this evening. Yes, 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 yes. Yes. For those of you who are new listeners, welcome to the show. I hope that you come and you receive everything that you came here for and even more. For those of you who are regular listeners, I thank you so much for coming back here with me every single Sunday. Tonight's show is going to be amazing, and I'm so excited about it. But before we get knee-deep into it, let's get into some breath, all right? Everybody, let's stop and let's take three nice, long, delicious breaths. We're going to inhale for four, we're going to hold for six, and we're going to exhale for seven. Okay, are you ready? All right, everybody, inhale. Inhale. Last time, inhale. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Divine Father and Mother, for your providence, for your sciences, for life, for the beauty of life, for this whole system, how everything is created, our technology, for this journey of rediscovering who we are. This is such a great blessing, and I'm so appreciative. I'm sure we're all very appreciative of life and all of the magic, the mystery, and the wonder. I'm so excited about that. Thank you. Ancestors, I love you, and I appreciate you, and I thank you so very much. I love all that we are, all that I am. I'm so very thankful for you. Ashe, ashe, ashe. Warrior, Empress, I am you, I love you, I thank you, Ashe. Guide, I thank you so much, I love you so much, Ashe. Angels, 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 I love you so much, and I thank you so much, Ashe. Spiritual fathers and mothers, I appreciate you, I love you, and I thank you so much, Ashe. Ashe, ashe. Let us all open our minds and hearts and receive all of the love, peace, healing, and restoration that there is for us to receive. I'm so very thankful for everything that has been going on and everything that continues to go on as far as our death our rebirth and our transformation is concerned, brothers and sisters. This is Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration in the Flesh on Major Change Radio. Now, tonight's show is going, it's so great. It's so amazing. It's all about the holistic temple. It's all about the holistic temple and the seven keys to power, the nutritional keys to power, the seven principles. And it's so fitting because we know that ultimately the true temple, the holy temple, is our bodies, this vessel that we've been given. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. And this body is our temple. And the way that we care for our temple, the way that we treat our temple, it really determines the life that we, the quality of life that we have. And so it's very important that we feed our body the proper nutrients, not only just the food that we're consuming that you hear me speak so passionately about, not just the food, but also the things that we're hearing, the things that we're seeing, the company that we're keeping, all of these things, the thoughts that we're having, all of these things contribute to our health. These are all things that we are feeding ourselves. And so we have to be sure that we have the healthiest diet that we can have, especially if we desire to ascend or to vibrate at a high frequency. And why? Why does that even matter, vibrating at a high frequency? Why does ascension even matter? For some people, you know, ascension is whatever to them. You know, they don't even know what I'm talking about, ascension. Or they're like, whatever, I'll come back here to Earth as many times as I feel like it, whatever. You know, that's fine. Ascension is not necessarily the the key focus here. The key focus here is having a high vibratory rate. We want to have a high frequency so that we can magnetize and live in a state of abundance, of gratitude, of wealth, of health, of love, of joy, of ecstasy, our bliss. And in order to do that, we have to be vibrating at a high frequency. In order to vibrate at a high frequency, we have to have a clean, healthy, wholesome diet. And it makes so much sense, especially for me to be speaking about this now, astrologically speaking, because we have a few retrogrades happening as I speak. We have Venus that's been in retrograde, and Venus deals with love and finances, passion, and things like that. And a lot of times when we talk about Venus, it's all about the love, love, love. Oh, the love, 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 the way I love, the people love me, love, 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 and relationships, beauty, and love. But it's also dealing with finances, and not finances like just necessarily material wealth, but this finances, this material wealth, these finances, they happen, they come about by the way we value ourselves, and that's really what Venus is about, what we value in love relationships, what we value in romance, how we value ourselves, and relate, and that relates to the, our currency, our income, our cash flow. So Venus has been in retrograde, and Saturn just went into retrograde. Jupiter is in retrograde. Mercury just went into retrograde. And Pluto about to go into retrograde. So we have all these planets in retrograde, meaning that, okay, let's stop, pause for a minute. Let's pump the brakes, and let's rewind, review, reevaluate. Let's take a deeper look into these things, to these areas. And so I'm not going to get into the astrology of what's happening right now. That's another show. I'll have somebody come on and break that down into detail for you all. But the point of the matter is this reading that I got. All of this stuff, all of these things, these retrogrades for me are falling in the home life, the fourth house, and my 11th house. My fourth house, my 10th house, fourth house being home, 10th house being my career and my relationship to the outside world. Also, my sixth house, which deals with my daily routine, the details, the small details of life, and, you know, my health regimen and things of this nature. So as I'm reviewing these things, it makes sense that right now, especially in this season, we're going over our foundation to make sure that our foundational the base, the foundation is solid. That is what we need in order to help us to be our strongest, brightest, best versions of ourselves and things of that nature. So it makes sense that right now I will be talking about these nutrition, about the keys to power, about the seven principles to have a holistic temple or to embody a high vibration, to house love, to house my divinity. So this makes sense for me. Now, before we get into the show and knee deep into it, I have to share with you guys this reading. I pulled cards for the show, and this is something to be announced, something to be shared with everybody, what I found. So I pulled seven cards, first of all. Need I talk about the number seven? Seven being a number of spiritual completion. And the seventh house deals with relationships. So this has a lot to do with relationships. The number one most important relationship, what is it? Our relationship with ourselves. Exactly. And making sure that all of us are walking in spiritual integrity. Saturn went into retrograde, which means Saturn is not going to be riding your tail this time around. Saturn's like, okay, I'm going to release the grip, especially for those of you that are Sagittarians like myself. Saturn has been in our sign for almost 2 years now, or 2.5 years now. So Saturn's like, I'm going to ease up my grip. You better do the right thing because I've been riding your tail. You know what the right thing is. So now you have an opportunity to do the right thing. I'm going to let you go. I'm going to ease up off of you. So you don't feel Saturn riding your neck right now. And also this all depends on what house and things like that for you personally, but just generally speaking. And so all of that toil that we've been doing, you know, all of that hard work that we've been doing, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. However, for the majority of us, because this is the reading that I got, that reward that you've been waiting on so long, that someone's like, you got right to the finish line and decided, you know what, I don't want to do this anymore. This is hard. I give up. The first card I pulled was the Sun card upside. Sun card is a wonderful card. It means that all that you've been toiling for and working for has now come about. It is the number 19, which is 1 and 9, which is 10, which is a brand new beginning because you went through your initiation, and now here is the reward. It's tapping back into your childhood, into your true self. It's bridging the subconscious with the conscious and all of these wonderful, masterful things. However, this Sun card and all the energy that you need in order to do whatever it is that you like to carry on is upside down. You got right to the finish line, and before you crossed the finish line, you said, this is too much for me. I don't want to do this anymore. This is a lot. And it's so interesting because 10, 19, 1, and 9 equaling 10, which deals with the 10th house and also with the first house. The 10th house, again, being your career and your reputation, the world's reputation of you, and the way that you go about your service to the world, career-wise. And then also the first house, which deals with identity. This is upside down. And then followed by the Eight of Cups. The Eight of Cups, again, is saying that, hey, you have accumulated all these things, and then some of these things are just no good for you any longer. They're just no good for you. So you need to walk away from these material things and focus on your intuition. Follow that intuitive voice. Follow the divine feminine energy within you, which is your spiritual faculties, in order to determine what it is that you need to be doing. You have to let go of all that you've accumulated in order to grab a hold of your true self, of your divinity. It's okay to let go of those things. The next card was, an eight, because it's the Eight of Cups, eight dealing with Scorpio's house, the house of transformation, deep transformation, death, rebirth, transformation. This is an initiation of sorts. This is you dying to your old self, completely letting all that stuff go, trusting in your intuition, trusting in the bright future that you have, trusting in your divinity. And then we have the Five of Cups. Five is Scorpio's card. It's Scorpio's card, and it's dealing with Mars energy. So Mars is the warrior planet. Mars is intense passion. Mars goes to war with what Mars is passionate about. And Scorpio is all about that death, rebirth, transformation. And this is number five. This is dealing with the fifth house. This is the house of the psyche, the house of hobbies, your hobbies, the things that you're interested in. It's the house of luxury and leisure. It's the house of opulence, the house of romance, of love affairs, of children, of bounty, of beauty, of royalty. It's Leo's house. It's where the sun sits. The first card we pulled was the sun upside down. And this card suggests that you're focused on the things that you're letting go, the cups that have spilled and soaking over, oh, this is the victim. Like, oh, my God, this happened. Woe me. All of this stuff. Instead of seeing it for what it is, there is a transformation taking place in all of these things. You're being granted more time, more leisure to do what it is that you fancy. And you're over here getting over the things you had to let go of in order to get to where you're going. Like, it's not worth it. And then you have the Four of Cups. Mind you, this reading is full of cups. We have the Eight of Cups first, the Five of Cups second, and you have the Four of Cups. You're sitting here with your arms folded, thinking about how these three cups that you already have are not fulfilling. They're not enough. You want more. And then here comes this hand of God that's giving you this cup. Like, here, here's everything you want. Here's everything you desire. And here you're soaking, thinking, why is this happening like this? Why? Four deals with the home. That is the house of the home, the house of your ancestry. This lets me know that this is a lot of the stuff that you're working through is ancestral. It is like ancestral, generational stuff that you've been working through. You've been doing some hard work here. You're near the finish line, and the finish line not being the end, because it's not the end of the journey. It's just the beginning of this new life that you worked so hard for, clearing out everything for. And yeah, it may be a little tough, but keep going. Keep going, because the hand of God is giving you another opportunity. The hand of God is giving you everything that you desire. Just open your eyes, look and see. And then what happens when you receive that from the Most High, when you receive that gift from the hand of God, when you receive that sustenance, you affect not only yourself, but the world. The world card. We got 21, 2 and 1. That is 3. That is creation. That is creation energy, creative energy. That is the Christ energy. After all, we are emptying out all of this so that we feel with the Spirit of Christ, so that we can be operating in our highest vibration, in our divinity. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is our relationship with our neighbors, with the people in the world around us, the people close by. This deals with short-term travel. This deals with our siblings. This deals with embodying the four elements, you know, being the fifth element, being one within yourself. And then using your magic. The next card I pulled was the Magician card, the number one. Number one deals with identity. Again, you create who you are. Create yourself. Recreate yourself. That's what this death is all about. You don't have to be that same teacher you were. You don't have to be that same corporate worker you were. You don't have to just be a mother or a father or an uncle or a worker. You don't have to do that. Do what you love. You're the magician you choose. You get to decide what you want. You get to be the alchemist. You get to choose what you want for yourself. And next we got the High Priestess. Number two. There's the woman that you embody. You have a call under the name. All right, just a second, caller. Number two, the High Priestess. This is stepping into your divinity, using that feminine energy to step into the High Priestess that you are. You have all the answers. You know everything. That is the reading. That is what we got, and this is a beautiful reading. My son came and pulled two cards for us, and the first one he pulled was the Hierophant. The Hierophant is the five. High Priestess is number two, which deals with inner balance, the balance of the masculine and feminine within, but also it also deals with the second house, which is your value, how you value yourself, and how that value translates to wealth, to money, to material goods. Then we have the Hierophant, number five, and the Major Arcana, which is the royalty. She knows who she is, And this is men too. You know who you are, and you rule as royalty with justice and balance with the key of life. It's so beautiful. And then he pulled the 10, the phallus and the womb, the 1 and the 0. Put it together, you get a new life. Number 1, brand new beginnings with the wheel of fortune. The wheel of fortune is not bad, nor is it good. It's the wheel of fortune. There are cycles. There are up cycles where everything is awesome. Everything is awesome. And then there's a downward cycle where everything has to collapse. You have to die. There has to be death and deconstruction and decomposition in order for new life to grow. And that's what's happening for all of us. So count it all joy and step into the magician in you so that you can create the life that you desire. Ashe. Now, caller, talk to me. Caller?
Hello?
Welcome to Divine Inspiration. Who am I speaking with?
With Emma.
Hi, Emma. How are you?
Good, and you?
I'm wonderful. So what led you to call in tonight?
Well, I would like to know something about my love life, please.
Okay. What would you like to know about your love life?
I would like to know what you see in it, what's going to happen.
Okay. Well, I'll draw a card for you. Even though tonight's
okay.
not a wild card show, but since you asked and I have the cards, I might as well just pull a card for you, Emma.
Okay.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right away what card fell out, and it's the Two of Cups, which is the Lover's card. However, it pulls out upside down, which lets me know that you're so focused on this relationship and on what's going on and, you know, are you going to be in love? Are you going to have a lover? Are you going to, is this relationship going to work? That you are preventing it from happening. It's not that it's far off in your life. It's that you put so much stress and emphasis on it that you're not allowing things to flow. It's almost like you're resisting it because you're focused on the lack of instead of it just flowing nicely. The second card that came out was the Ace of Swords. That also was upside down. Swords deals with the mental faculty, and it's like all of the Swords deals with the mental faculty. It's the air signs, your Libras, your Aquariuses, and your Gemini. So think about those different signs and the way they function. This is high intellectual energy. This is ideas that come from the ethers because the earth signs, the air signs, they look at things that already exist and they find new innovative ways of making it better. And so when you have the Ace of Swords, it's the potential for amazing things, amazing, beautiful ideas and innovation dealing with this relationship and all of this. But this is upside down because it's being blocked, which means that you're not able to tap into that energy because you're too busy focused on it. Your mind is preoccupied with it. Then the Two of Swords came up, which lets me know, two is balance within yourself. You have to find that balance within yourself. And also, Two of Swords, also with the mental faculties, you thinking, instead of using your brain to think about this relationship and attracting love and is this the right love for me and am I doing the right thing and when will I find love and how is it going to come to me and is this the one, is this not the one, instead of trying to figure that out mentally, you need to go inside of yourself and you need to tap into your first eye, tap into your intuition and find that balance within yourself, having nothing to do with a lover outside of you. It's loving yourself and really, this card is all about tapping into your intuition in order to know what is the right love, who is the right love, is this the right love, should I be, you know, is this the one? That type of stuff that you're going through mentally can be answered inside of yourself. Then I pulled the Moon card, which is 18. Okay, 1 and 8, which is 9, which means that there has to be, there's 9 indicates endings. It's 1 through 9. You went through this whole cycle, and now you're at 9, which means a lot of stuff has to be let go. You got to cut a lot of ties, a lot of insecurities that you have, a lot of disappointments and letdowns in love that you had, a lot of hopes being crushed that you had, a lot of things that you're holding on to in relationships. Maybe from childhood, not feeling loved, not knowing if you were worthy of love, the value that you place on yourself, you have to let go of all the negative stuff and all of that and release it in order to step into your intuition, in order to step into yourself, in order to love and value yourself, that you can attract the love that you want. And this is the moon card. So you, again, meet the moon card. The moon deals with the mother. So there might be some issues there with the mom that needs to be resolved in order for you to feel completely loved. Also, the moon card deals with your emotions, okay? The moon rules over the emotions. So you, there's a lot of emotional stuff that you're holding on to that you need to release and let go of. And you can, this is not going to be done through your brain trying to figure stuff out. And this is not going to be done through somebody coming and loving it out of you or loving you through it. It's you loving yourself through it. You have to let go of these emotional things in order for love to come. Then the last card that I pulled was the Nine of Staves, the Nine of Wands. Wands is the fire element, the passion, the spark, the light, the ignition, the inspiration, the spirit. And Nine deals with the house of Sagittarius. It deals with the higher ideals, the spiritual ideals. This lets me know that in order for this love to manifest and be right, it has to be for the right reasons, not because you feel inadequate, not because you need somebody to love you, not because you're lonely, not because you don't feel like you're lovable and you really want someone to love you. It can't be those reasons. Those things have to go. All the emotional stuff tied to that has to go. It has to be because of the right spiritual principles, because you love yourself and you are focused on your highest self. You're focused on, you know, your best possible version of yourself. You're spiritually aligned and spiritually in tune, and that is what the major focus is. This Nine of Staves was upside down, which lets me know that you have all of these ideas and all of these, this inspiration, all of this spark, all of this, it's like heavy stuff that you're carrying, and you're not satisfied with it. That's it upside right. It's like all too, so much. It's so much that you're not even satisfied with it, but it's upside down, which lets me know that by focusing on the spiritual aspects and focusing on spiritual integrity and uprightness and on yourself, is how you're going to manifest this love, because you're spending too much mental energy on this that you're repelling it away from you. I hope that answered your question. And those were five cards dealing with the fifth house, which is Leo's house, dealing with your romance, your love relationships, your relationship with children, also dealing with your throat chakra. You speaking your truth. As well, you speaking out these things that have been blocking you, these blockages that you've had in relationships and love, you have to speak up when people hurt you. You have to speak up when you feel like you're not being treated fairly. You need to speak up when anything is going on with you. When you feel something, you need to trust your intuition, and that will definitely aid you in your quest for love. I hope that helped you out, my sister Emma.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Divine Inspiration. That was amazing. I guess we're going to start every show out with a reading. But we have to get to our show because time is a ticking. So we're going to go on a break really quick. And when we come back, I'm going to introduce my guest. And we're going to have a wonderful, fantabulous show. We'll be right back after this tune.
I got a big ego, ha ha ha, such a big ego, I got a big ego, she love my big ego, so stroke my big ego. I like to joke around a little bit, but here we go. Welcome to the wonderful world of gold plated Earl, cause everything I throw up, blow up. Talking to the girl, she said, know what? Grow up, you nasty. I don't understand why they tripping if you ask me. Flow just the nicest. I emit the propane, I just spit. Probably just raise the gas prices. Everybody in the club trying to get as fresh as me. What you on, dog? Trying to stay recession free. and spit refreshingly. When I rock the stadium, you probably get sweaty. You should bring an extra tea. Now I'm standing next to Jay, who's standing next to B. Could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me. That's good for my ego. Me and my ego, and he go wherever we go. My ego is my imaginary friend. He was with me when I was only imagining. I had dreams of the league. One day I played Kobe, or walk up to Puff, and he really know me. Coulda let the dream killers kill my self-esteem, or use the arrogance as a steam that power my dreams and my ego.
Call in the workers, you the boss. For real, want you to show me how you feel. I consider myself lucky, that's a big deal. Why? Well, you got the key to my heart, but you ain't gon' need it. I'd rather you open up my body and show me secrets you didn't know what's inside. No need for me to lie. It's too big, it's too wide, it's too strong, it won't fit. It's too much, it's too tough. Like this, cause he can back it up. He got a big ego, such a huge ego. I love his big ego, it's too much. He walk like this, cause he can back it up. Usually I'm humble, right now I don't choose. You can leave with me, or you can have the blues. Don't call it arrogance, I call it confidence.
Welcome back. This is Alicia Monet, Divine Inspiration in the Flesh on Married to Change Radio. And I'm so excited about tonight's show. That long introduction was beautifully spiritually led. And now we're about to get into the Holistic Temple Nutritional Keys to Power. Now, my guest on the show, I met him because he hit me up on Facebook once and offered to do a reading. It was around my birthday. And I was like, yes, I love reading. And so this was a reading unlike any other reading I've ever received before. And so then after I got this reading, it was an astrological reading, but it was a different type of astrological reading. That astrological reading wasn't based off of, you know, some, it wasn't like any other reading. I can't explain it. Words did not do it any justice. He just used my birthday and used the planets that were associated with it to read me unlike I've ever been read. It was amazing. And then he gave me these jewels, the nutrition, the keys to power at the seven principles, and he began to tell me about the holistic temple. And I was like, yo, you have to come on the show in order to tell the people about this because we need this. This is the way that we're going to raise our vibratory frequency and maintain a high frequency, and that's exactly what we need in these times. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome my guest on the show, Dr. Kalfani Rivers. Welcome to Divine Inspiration.
Peace. Thank you, Queen. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Everything is great. Thank you for asking.
Wonderful. So first of all, welcome to the show. Please introduce yourself and let us all know who you are and what it is that you do.
Well, I am Dr. Kalfani Rivers. I'm a doctor of holistic health. And what that basically means is that I use natural means in order to bring balance mentally, physically, spiritually to beings. And so I've been in this this calling all my life, but I've been practicing in what you might see on a professional level for over 35 years. And I've actually have students and clients all over the world. And people call me, basically a lot how we met. It starts with a diagnosis that deals with the energy of your astrological being, which shows me it's like a metaphysical x-ray. And it shows me the state of your energy and what your potential is. And in that reading, I don't just deal with potentials. I tell you what things actually are. And when people hear about their own energy coming from, in the first instance, coming from a perfect stranger like myself, they can tell that they're into a very legitimate connection because I don't tell them anything vague or anything that applies to everybody. I talk specifically to their spirit and particularly to their energy. And so from this type of accuracy and this spiritual approach, a lot of people have the confidence to then put real things on the table, like they might have migraine headaches that they've been having for several years, or they might be in a relationship where they know it's wrong and it's really been wearing them out, or they might have some other type of melody problem that normally they wouldn't discuss or talk about with a so-called stranger. But after doing that reading and getting so deep with them, it really breaks the ice, it bonds me to the client, and it allows me to approach them in what I call a holistic way, which allows me to not only address what you might call presenting problem is, but also to put a few more things that might need to be addressed. Because a lot of people will tell you, oh, my foot is hurting, my foot is hurting, because they really are either embarrassed or just not, genuine in the fact that their head is the thing that's really hurting them. So with these readings and coming from a spiritual approach, I'm able to cut right to the core and be able to get right to the bottom line of things. And in a lot of instances, one of the techniques that I use, one of the modalities I use, is called Nutrition, the Key to Power. And so it's with this seven-principle program that I'm able to once again diagnose and give a treatment program that's unique to every individual so that they can get what they need out of it and not just some cookie cutter from a book that, you know, everybody reads and thus tries to do, and it works for some people and not for others. By dealing with the individual and where they're at, by dealing with a reading with them, I'm able to fine-tune the principles to meet the needs that they have for their goals, not my goals, for the goals that they have for themselves. So that's basically what I'm doing from this perspective, and I'm very happy to share my gift tonight with you and your listening audience.
Wonderful. I'm very excited to have you and to have this gift shared. So why don't you share with us, what are these seven principles?
Basically, the name of the program is Nutrition, the Key to Power. And it really starts off with what we call an expanded definition of what nutrition is. Because if you ask anybody what nutrition is, most people will tell you, well, it's good food. It's food that's good for you. And they would be correct in that instance. But what we've done is that we've expanded the definition to include any and everything that your mind, your body, and your spirit absorbs into your system via what we call seven points of entry. And those seven points of entry, well, the first five points of entry are very commonly known to people because they're actually the five senses. So whatever you see, whatever you touch, whatever you smell, whatever you hear, et cetera, has an effect upon your being. And it actually goes into your system. So we're calling this nutrition because it has this very powerful effect upon our being. Now, this nutrition can be both negative and positive depending on the amount of it and depending on the energy vibration of the individual, what state they're in at that time. So first we have what we call the five senses. That's the first five perceptions or the first five of the seven ways that nutrition enters our body. The sixth way is what some of us call the sixth sense, or extrasensory perception, because everybody actually has this faculty. Everybody has this power. But just like that muscle in our arm that's very famously called a bicep, if you're healthy, you have a bicep. But the development of your bicep depends on the work that you might do, whether you're an athlete or you might be a person who sits at a desk and types all day. So your bicep is not going to be as developed as somebody that works at, let's say, UPS, and they're lifting boxes all day. So the same thing with your sixth sense. Your sixth sense is like a muscle that's developed through specific exercises or certain exercises that can affect it. And that's why people who are deep into knowledge of self and spirituality, meditation is always at one of the top of their list, because that's one of the key ingredients to developing that sixth sense, to being able to shut things down and not have so much static going on with your thinking and your thoughts as much as you have with your listening and your receiving and your feeling the high frequency vibration of things. So of the seven perceptions, you got the five senses, then you got the sixth sense. Now this seventh perception, the final perception, has to deal with what I call the knowledge of the creator, the knowledge mm-hmm. of the creatress. And this is knowledge that if I told you for the next 3-4 minutes we were only going to talk about that knowledge, then you might expect that, wow, you're going to be talking about something very deep and very heavy. And you know what? You're right. But in another instance, we're also going to be talking about very everyday common things. Because if anybody looks around the room that they're in right now, they'll see things like a pencil. They'll see things like paper. They might see a television set. They might see a rug. They'll see walls. And these are very common, almost mundane things because we take them for granted. We don't realize that to a great degree. Well, we do know it, but we don't constantly think about it. We're not really witnessing these things in their natural state. That pencil that you're looking at was once a tree. That lead that's in that pencil was once a part of the earth also in the form of lead. And that the walls that you're looking at, if it's some type of drywall, was also a part of the earth and part of some type of rock formation maybe, et cetera. And so all these things are natural, and they were created by creation, and that's a very high energy vibration. And when you use your creative self to, like, solve problems, that's where we get things like homes and houses and cars and clothes and things of that nature. So the seven perceptions are vibrational frequencies that come to us through these doors. And so what we're proposing is that the seven principles of nutrition are actually exercises that are going to affect our perception and affect it to such a degree that it will elevate us. It'll magnify our energy. Now, the first principle of Nutrition Akita Power is called thought, because whatever you think, that's what you are, that's where you are. In fact, thought is the highest form of nutrition there is, because our thoughts is what makes things manifest. And so we have to have control of our thoughts. So what we do under the first principle is we do three exercises. Actually, we do three types of meditation. We do what's common to a lot of people call affirmations. And then we do something that we call the reading of the masters, which is really to take some what you might call books of wisdom, books of knowledge, and we read short passages of them, not to really try to debate the energy of them, but to feel the energy of the truth that are in these books of wisdom. And so from reading these books, from vibrating at that frequency, in order to understand it, you have to raise your level of energy. You have to raise your vibration in order to even understand it. So through meditation, through affirmation and the reading of the masters, we affect and give good energy to our thoughts. Now, again, there are seven principles. That's the first principle, thought. The second principle we call breath. And as you know, you can go several days without eating food. You can go several days without drinking water, but you can only go moments without breathing. And so that must tell us all that there's something in this thing that we call oxygen, that our ancestors called chi and prana and the fire of Ra. There's something in this elemental force that is so powerful, we have to interface with it every few seconds and even to be alive. So what we do under the second principle called breath is we do, in some instances, very common exercises. It could be running, jogging, swimming, bike riding, or we can do what you might call scientific or classical exercises like yoga or tai chi or some of the latest exercises like Zumba and things of that nature. But whenever you're exercising, you're breathing in such a way that you are bringing what we call chi into your system. And then learning how to move that chi through your body is how we can do things like heal certain organs and heal certain aspects of our being. But you have to first learn a certain aspect, a way of breathing, in order to really get the most out of that. So, again, you got seven principles. The first one's called thought, and we do spiritual exercises like the meditation, the affirmation, the reading of the masters. The second principle is called breath, where we learn how to cultivate our breath. And then I ask clients and students to do three different types of exercises. It's like cross training. So they pick out their own exercise, whether they're going to walk or jog or run, but they need to do at least three different kinds to ensure that they're hitting different aspects of their physical being with these movements that they might do in the exercise. The third principle is called water. And remember, water is one of those things that we need to live. The ingredients of water, which if we break it down chemically, is H2O, hydrogen and oxygen, are elements that are very much apparent in the universe, and we need this in our system to live. So water is something that we break down into spring water, distilled water, alkaline water, and tap water. Because everybody's tap water across the country and across the world is different. Some people's tap water coming through copper pipes. Some people suffer coming through what we call galvanized pipes. Some people are in plastic pipes. So, and then they live on different parts of the planet, which means the quality of the water might not be as pure. So we encourage a lot of alkaline drinking of water. We encourage a lot of spring and sometimes even distilled drinking of water to ensure that you're going to get a high quality and purity of water. We also deal with, for those who are interested, rituals with water, like baths that you might take or libations that you might do, praise to your ancestors, because these have not only a psychological effect, but a metaphysical and spiritual effect upon your being. So water is the third principle. The fourth principle is what we all think about when you say nutrition. We think about food. So in the fourth principle, we teach about the aspects of what we normally call food, which is your fruits, your nuts, your vegetables, your grains, and them in their raw state. Those are the highest types of food. And then because of our conditioning, we've adapted to eating different types of meat, whether that's pork or beef or chicken or fish. And so we encourage people as best they can, as best their own physical being will allow them to wean themselves, particularly off of things like pork and beef, and particularly in this environment, meaning the United States of America. Because in the United States of America particularly, there's so much intrusion upon the animals that they raise, meaning that they shoot different hormones in them in order for them to grow quicker. They feed them with feeds that have a lot of antibodies in them. So we encourage people, we're not living in 2,000 years ago, 1,000 years ago, where a person might have slaughtered an animal and they got a pure being, a pure beast. In this instance, we're dealing with a lot of farm-raised animals, and they're feeding them these very toxic feeds. When they slaughter cows, the cows are lined up by the hundreds and the thousands, and they can smell death in the air, so that fear is in their bloodstream. So that's one of the major reasons that we encourage people to wean themselves, if they can, off of meat. But it's not 100% necessary if you learn about what fruits and vegetables to eat, and you learn about what we call the pH levels of food, which is alkaline and acidity. So that's the fourth principle. We teach about nutrition in the food aspect. The fifth principle, and there are seven principles, the fifth principle has to do with what we call rate, the rate in which you think, the rate in which you speak, the rate in which you, it's almost like you might say the speed in which you do things. Because some people are very hyper and very, they speak real fast, they talk real fast, they do things real quickly, and they tend to burn themselves up. They create their own anxiety. They create their own stress. So we teach them how to breathe in order to break down that energy that they're producing themselves and burning themselves up. Some people are what we call hypo. They're very sluggish, and some might even what we might call procrastinate and things of that nature. So we teach them how to breathe in order to bring their energy up. So in the fifth principle, we teach a lot of breathing and how to deal with that. The sixth principle is a huge principle because it's called environment. And we consider environment starts really with whatever's touching your skin. Because whatever touches your skin, and with most people, that's going to be some type of clothing, some type of garment that's made out of a material, or it's going to be some type of jewelry, we might call it, which is made out of some type of metal or some type of stone. So we are very much educators and informers around the power and the unique energy of the metals and the sympathetic properties that they have of the stones, what some people call gem therapy. We talk a lot about that. We talk about aroma therapy. We talk about sound therapy. We talk about feng shui. We talk about astrology, numerology, because everything that I've named are different sciences and arts that we have used to measure the vibrational frequency of our environment and how to merge with our environment. And then finally, the seventh principle is called consistency. Because if you wake up and meditate every day and you do some type of affirmation and you do some type of reading of the masters and you do physical exercise and the breathing, the yoga, the tai chi, or the running or the jogging, and you do the drinking of the right amount of water, and you take toxins out of your diet like coffee and sugar, and because these are some extraordinarily highly potent poisons that are in our system right now that are injuring people in a great mass way. And so we have to teach them about that. And then we teach them about the food, and you eat the right food, and then, again, the rate, and learn about your environment. Studying and doing this every day, that's what we deal in what we call nutrition, the key to power. So this is a program that is very simple to do. It just takes dedication and focus, but mostly it takes consistency. And that's what we're dealing with every day with this Nutrition the Key to Power program.
That is amazing. That is wonderful. That is beautiful. How does this relate to the holistic temple? Is this something that's separate from that, or is this the same thing?
Okay. It relates in two ways. First of all, as you said, and it's just really like our vernacular. This is how we speak. Everybody doesn't talk like this. But we see our body, our personal body, as being sacred and holy. So that's really the first holistic temple, your body. Your mind-body complex is your first holistic temple. The second holistic temple that we talk about is really a organizational strategy that I use to bring people together and help them form in different cities around the world an actual physical place that they can come to and learn the different disciplines, whether it's tai chi, yoga, diet, exercising, numerology, astrology. These are things that are not taught everywhere. So we assess our clients' needs and our students, and we refer them, and in some cases we help them even build the physical structure of a holistic temple so they'll have some place to come and they can build a support group of other people who are seeking spiritual knowledge, who are seeking spiritual culture, who are trying to be as best and high as they can be. So those are the two types of holistic temples.
That is amazing. This is some really good stuff, and I'm really thankful that we're having this discussion now. You know, I feel like it's so fitting because for me personally, on this healing journey of mine, I've tried various different modalities in order to cleanse my body, to keep it cleansed, you know, to focus on raising my vibration, maintaining a high vibration, and all of these things. And the most important thing that she said was the seventh principle, And that is consistency, because no matter what you do, if you're not consistent with it, then there's no way that you're going to see the fruits of that labor. It's just like, planting a garden and then not watering it or pruning it, you know? It's like the garden is going to be destroyed. You're not going to get the fruit that you desire. The harvest is not going to be as bountiful as it could be, you know, without consistency. And so I think that it's cool that you have these centers all over the United States. Do you have any in California?
Well, actually, at this time, we don't. I have several students. You know, California is a huge state, and I got several students across the state. And we're now just talking about organizing, because another thing that you have to really do, again, in holism, is that we have to assess the individuals that are involved. So people in Southern California might not be facing the same issues or have the same problem as the people in Northern California. So I'm initiating and training people across that great state so that they can then link with people who have similar interests and similar challenges so that they can address the energy holistically and do it in a way that's going to bring, you know, health and benefit to the individuals involved. But it starts with me training a couple of people and making them the head of the temple, so to speak. And then there's some basic principles that everyone follows, but they are, again, they're tweaked to the uniqueness of the individuals that are involved.
Right. That's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So these initiates that you have all over the state, you just work with them over the phone, via Skype, and how long is this initiation process?
Well, the actual initiation to become a part of Holistic Temple is up to a year. And there's many courses that we take the prospective student through in order for them to qualify to be a member of Holistic Temple, because we're dealing with, you know, there's nothing, unless you could tell me something right now, that's more important than your health. So given that that's true, we're dealing with a very, very serious and sacred topic. So we have to screen people and initiate them in the sense that we're dealing with people who are very serious and very focused and very dedicated around improving their health mentally, physically, and spiritually, and are willing to commit themselves to this year process in order to really get very deeply involved in it. You can still receive services from the Holistic Temple and just simply be a client. You don't have to be a member of Holistic Temple to get a reading, to get a massage, to get therapies like aromatherapy and herbal therapies. You don't have to be a member of Holistic Temple to get that. You just simply need to call and make an appointment, and we do an assessment, and then we can give you the things that you might need to balance whatever it is that you're dealing with. And that can apply to anybody. But to be an active member of Holistic Temple, that's another process that, like I said, it's an initiation process that can take up to a year to ensure that we're really impacting our students and that they are really doing what needs to be done in order for them to move on another level. Because we're dealing with one of the most powerful forces, one of the most powerful laws in the universe, and that is for every action, there's a reaction. And another short word for that is called karma. So we have to make sure that our students understand that they create their own karma and that they can be as great as their potential can allow them to be, because we all got unique chemistry. We all got unique gifts. And to a great degree, we all got unique callings, so to speak. And so we need to find out what that is. You need to know why it is that you came to this planet, what it is that you need to do. And that starts with the reading process that we take our clients through, so and our students through, so that they can get in tune with their purpose in life. Because, again, we're not trying to give people goals and assign them to this and this and that. We're trying to help them meet their own goals, their own energy, and in order to make sure that they're living out their purpose and not my purpose or anybody else's.
Awesome. So you said that people that in the states or in the places where there are no temples, a person may still call in to be either an initiate or in order to gain services. Is this true?
That's absolutely correct.
And so just anybody go through the initiation process, or is there like a special selection? How does that work?
Yes, it is a special selection because, again, we read everyone. And I read, if I'm the teacher they're supposed to have, I read if they're supposed to be a part of this organization and this movement. Because, again, we're dealing with a very serious mission. And that mission
mm-hmm.
is called health. In fact, our theme is health is wealth. And sometimes people involve themselves in activities and programs because they just simply want to be a part of a group. They want to be a part of something. And
right.
to that great degree, we got classes for people. We have, like I said, we got services for people. But the membership is involved with people who are actually called. It's almost like if I said, sister, you know that there's a lot of sick people in the world, and we're going to make an attempt to just to bring healing to the people in our area. Well, how can we bring healing to people if we haven't healed ourselves? How can we bring
right.
healing to people if we're not really totally focused and dedicated to this? So we have to take people through this screening, so to speak, to ensure that they're serious about what they're talking about, because we don't want you don't want to go into a hospital and see somebody still studying out a book and they're getting ready to say, yeah, we're getting ready to do brain surgery on you, but let me look it up first. Or
right. yeah, we don't
I got this alcohol addiction, and when I come down, I might be able to deal with you then. Or my wife makes me so mad, I can't even focus. And so we make sure that people have went through this training so that they have a great power and aspect on learning how to control themselves, on learning how to empower themselves, and that this is the work that they really want to do, because it really does take a calling in order to really deal with people from the aspects of being a healer, of being
right.
someone who's going to bring health or healing modalities to people. This takes a special personality, and we don't play with that. We don't experiment with that. That's why we take this year time to train and assess people, and then depending, again, on their goals and how deeply they want to get into it, that will determine how much further training they get. And all the training doesn't come from me. You know, I don't claim to know everything and all this and that, but I do know the basics, and I created this energy. The ancestors have really put this vibration on me, so I give people the basics, and then we make referrals to those who have problems or expectations or goals that are outside our periphery, because we don't try to do everything, and we don't claim to know everything. We just are focused around this mental, physical, and spiritual well-being.
That's beautiful. So do the initiates have to pay to be initiates for the training?
Yes, they do. And the payment is really based upon their ability to pay. We have what we might call a flat rate that we try to deal with, because it takes time to deliver these courses. It takes time to deliver training. And just like when you go into a grocery store, you don't fill up your bag with groceries and then just walk out the store. You know that
right.
you must pay for it, because the owner, the store employees, they need monies in order to interface with the rest of life. And so we're a part of community too. We're just like your car mechanic, your nursery school teacher, your person who makes clothes, your grocer. We're a part of the community also. So when we spend our time and energy creating curriculum, creating courses, and delivering that curriculum, and delivering the services that some people need in the healing modalities and treatments that we give for them, we need a economic compensation for those things. But we make it very fair, and in a lot of cases, we scale it down to the person's ability to pay. We're not going to tell a person, well, you got these problems, and they're really plaguing you, and they might even take you out, and we'll see you when you got the money. You know, we don't do that. And in some cases, we even help train people on how they can be more marketable themselves. We help them create business plans and things of that nature. So it all starts with an assessment, and that way we know what the person wants. We can assess whether they're going to be a client or whether they're going to be a student. We can give them what we can give them, and then we can come into the agreements around what times we're going to meet and what the fees are. All those things, again, are unique to the individuals.
Wow, that's amazing. That sounds so awesome. I'm really excited about that. So why don't you let us know how we can contact you if we want to become a student or if we want to become a client? How do we even contact you?
Okay, there's two very simple ways. One of them is real simple. You could just simply call me at area code 773-408-5986. That's 773-408-5986. You could also look up and do a little research about me. You could just Google Dr. Kelfani Rivers and do a little research on myself and the work that I've been doing, because, like I said, I've been doing this for over 35 years. So there's stuff all over the internet, and we've done stuff all over the country and in the Caribbean and Mexico, Canada. We got a record of what we've done and the things that we've done. So you can Google my name. Kelfani is K-H-A-I-L-F-A-N-I, last name Rivers, R-I-V-E-R-S. So Dr. Kelfani Rivers, Google it. Give me a call at 773-408-5986. And you could also look up www.holistictemple.com. That's holistic with a W, W-H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C, temple, T-E-M-P-L-E, holistictemple.com. So those are the simplest way is just to call, and then you can ask as many questions and get the direction that you might need.
That's so amazing. I appreciate you for just allowing yourself to be of service to everybody. That's really awesome. People don't just come on here and give out their numbers like that. And just call me, ask all your questions, and then you'll be just fine. Nobody does that, so I appreciate that. That's really cool. Also, are there any final words that you'd like to share with our audience before we close out the show tonight?
Certainly I do. I would like people to acknowledge truth. Because when you can really discover truth and acknowledge truth and then live the truth, that's going to create a very powerful energy for you. And one of the truths I just want you to ponder on tonight is that, is there anything that you can think of that's more important to your health? Anything that you can think of more important to your health? And if the answer to that is no, then maybe we need to be about learning how we can be more healthy. Simple things we can do by curbing our diet, exercising correctly, and really just being better to ourselves, which will give us the capacity to be better to others. Let's love each other. That's what we were brought here for. We were brought here to love. And let's get out of all this conditioning that warfare and sick and evil people have influenced our environments to where you really do have to shut your door and create your own environment inside of your house. Because if you're going to share a lot of yourself with the outdoors, you're going to be very, very toxic. So that's love again. And let's acknowledge that health is wealth and do the things that we can do. And you don't have to take on this huge burden of you're going to heal the world and you're going to heal your whole neighborhood. Start with yourself and do the little simple things of yourself. And over a period of time, see if you're called to go beyond yourself, to your neighbor, to your community, et cetera. Do what's in your capacity, and whatever you can do will be appreciated, needed, and well received. So let's acknowledge that health is wealth and get it together.
Yes, let's do that. Oh, that was amazing. I'm really excited. I'm very thankful. You know, it's been a long time coming. We all needed to hear this. You know, I feel like a lot of times when we talk about healing, we talk about lifestyle changes, it's like, oh, we got to do all this at one time. We got to, you know, change our diet. We got to, you know, do all of this. Especially like you said, most people think of nutrition, they think of food. They don't think of everything else that they're absorbing from their other senses. So I'm so happy that we got this information. And it is my hope, my desire, that we all take these tools that we learned here today and we put them into practice. And, you know, and not be hard on yourself. A little bit at a time. Like, you don't have to do everything at once. You can implement little things here and there and let them accumulate over time until you have a steady, consistent regimen, a steady, consistent flow, order, routine is what I was looking for. So I'm really excited about that. Now that we got through that, thank you so very much, Dr. Kalfani Rivers, for coming on and for sharing with us and for all of your work that you've been serving us with for the past 30-plus years. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're certainly welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. If there are any callers, now is the time to call in. You can press number one if you're listening and ask your questions or state a comment or share anything. Now will be the time to do that. And as you guys are deciding if you want to press one or not, we're going to get into our soul work. All right, our soul work for the week. This is so amazing because the soul work is the centering thought for the week is this one we have touched before, but it came back up, so this is what it is. My body is my temple and my life is my ritual. My body is my temple and my life is my ritual. My body is my temple and my life is my ritual. That's what came up this week, and it's so fitting because we're talking about this temple, and the temple is the body. So you heard, so I'm going to challenge us all to go a little further, to push a little harder. We found out that we absorb everything through our senses. Through our five senses, our extrasensory perception, and our knowledge of the creator or creatress within us. So what we're going to do is we are going to not only add something good to our food, meaning maybe add more vegetables if you don't eat enough vegetables, add more fruit if you don't eat enough fruit, or take out sugar and use natural sugar instead. Take out dairy for a week. Take out something, anything. It could be red meat if that's what you want to do. It could be your sodas, whatever. And add something good, more water, maybe some ginger and turmeric in your diet, maybe some more fruit or grains or nuts or beans or something. Okay, so that's one. We are going to do meditation and affirmation every day of the week, and even if it's one affirmation. My body's my temple. My life is my ritual. Whatever it is, affirmation, it could be a 5-minute meditation, and then reading of the masters. We're going to do this. That could be the Bible, the Quran. It could be the Dalai Lama reading their quotes. It could be whatever. We're going to do that, okay? Then the breath work, yes. And I'm not saying you have to do all of this. We're going to do one thing of each, one thing of thoughts, one thing of breath, running, exercise, yoga, tai chi, aerobics, but not water. We're going to get good water. We're going to start pouring libations every day this week. We're going to pour libations to our ancestors. We're going to drink water. We're going to bless our water. We're going to program our water. We're going to speak life into our water. As I drink you, I am hydrated. I am crystal clear. I am releasing. I am clarified. I am cleansed. I am full of vitality and high vibration. I am love. I am joy, peace. I am bliss. I am harmonious. All my relationships are harmonious. You're going to speak these things into your water to program your water. I already said add nuts, fruits, vegetables, something into your diet that you're not used to. And then you're going to be mindful of the speed of which you do things, okay? You're going to take your time. You're going to reserve your energy. You're going to be very thoughtful and mindful of every ounce of energy that you expend. And then you're going to be mindful of your environment. That's whatever is touching the skin. We're going to incorporate gemstones into our everyday life. So if you do have gemstones and they're just sitting around somewhere, grab them, clear them with some sage. You can put them out in the full moon that's going to take place on the 11th, the full moon in Libra. You can, and then you're going to wear them on your purse, and you're going to wear them with you, okay? You're going to keep them with you throughout your day. You're going to, excuse me, You could focus on aromatherapy, different scents that smell good, that you're going to have in your environment that are going to open up certain channels and access different parts of your brain to open up and create a certain energetic frequency, all right? And you're going to be consistent with this for 1 week, you know? You're going to be consistent with it because that's the main thing of consistency. And it's okay if you fall off. I know a lot of us, you know, we create these regimens or whatever, and then we're not consistent and we feel all bad and we beat ourselves up. No, just start where you left off. No big deal. Okay? I love you guys so very much. I hope you got everything that you needed out of this and even more. Listen to the show again. Write this stuff down. Take notes. Implement it. And I will see you guys next week. Next week, we're going to talk about colorism. Yes, we're going to get into it. I'm going to have a specific guest come on, and she's going to share her experience as a light-skinned Caribbean woman who is a melanated being with very light skin who had to deal with or who dealt with identity issues, issues of loving herself, self-esteem issues. And I think it's very important. We're talking about colorism, and I'm going to have a light-skinned melanated woman on the show. For several reasons. One, because she's amazing and her poetry is really good. She talks all about this. Her issues growing up with her mother and her grandmother out in Trinidad, you know, and, you know, the color of their skin and some people wanting to pass, some people not being black enough, not being white enough. All these things are real issues, and not only for dark-skinned people but also for light-skinned people. Nobody's plight or struggle is worse than anybody else's. You know, it's not to compare or to contrast. It's just to get a perspective and to talk about it. You know, she's out here now in the States, and she's liberating herself. That's how we ended up getting in contact with one another. And she's going to be on the show, and she's going to share some of her poetry, and she's going to share her story and a story of identity in a mixed-race world. I love you guys so much. Love, peace, and fairy dust. Until next week, I love you guys.